This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight.
The latest development here in the Ghanaian capital, Accra, is that President-elect Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, the former main opposition leader, met the outgoing president, John Dramani Mahama, at the Flagstaff House, or the seat of government, today in the capital, Accra. And this forms part of the beginning of the transition process that will bring the Akufo-Addo-led administration into power when he's officially installed early next year, which is January 20.
That's VOA's Peter Cloti in Accra, Ghana. We'll have the latest developments on the transition of power coming up.
Also, a minibus loaded with explosives kills 20 people in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, and at least 160 people were killed Saturday when a church collapsed in the southern Nigerian state of Akwa Ibom.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story this hour, more than 20 people were killed yesterday in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, when a minibus loaded with explosives crashed into a security gate leading to the seaport. Dozens more were wounded. Al-Shabaab militants have claimed responsibility for the attack. Several of the dead are members of the Somali police force who were guarding the gate. Most of the victims were civilians who were buying breakfast in tea shops. The seaport is still under construction.
Kenyan officials say the death toll from Saturday's road accident, in which a fuel truck plowed into 11 vehicles, has risen to at least 39. The driver of the fuel truck was speeding down a steep hill outside of Nairobi when the driver lost control. 10 people were injured. 11 of the dead were officers from the General Services Unit that provides protection to President Uhuru Kenyatta. A government official says the truck driver lost control when his vehicle struck a speed bump. More than 1,500 have died in traffic accidents in Kenya in the past 6 months.
Ghana's President John Mahama met today with the country's newly elected President Nana Akufo-Addo to start the peaceful transition of power. Ghana's Electoral Commission announced Friday night that Mr. Akufo-Addo won 53.9% of the roughly 11 million votes cast, compared with 44% for Mr. Mahama. Our colleague Peter Cloti is in Accra with the latest developments.
The latest development here in the Ghanaian capital, Accra, is that President-elect Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, the former main opposition leader, met the outgoing president, John Dramani Mahama, at the Flagstaff House, or the seat of government, today in the capital, Accra. And this forms part of the beginning of the transition process that will bring the Akufo-Addo-led administration into power when he's officially installed early next year, which is January 20.
About how long did they spend together, and is there any news on what exactly they were discussing?
Well, it's all about the transition process. The meeting is ongoing, and most of the things they're discussing about is that how to make the transition smooth in order to move from one party, which is the outgoing National Democratic Congress, or the NDC, to a new incoming party, which in this case is the New Patriotic Party, or the NPP. So as a matter of fact, to ensure a smooth transfer of power from one administration from a different political party to a new incoming one, that is a new political party. So this is what was the focus, because each party last week named a team that will cooperate with the other opposing team as part of the transition process, led by President John Dramani Mahama and his team, and then Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo and his team, forming part of the transition process. So today is the beginning of the first meeting between these two opposing sides, to ensure a smooth transfer of power.
What is the mood like on the ground there? What are people saying?
Well, people are saying that they wanted to change government and they are happy their vote was not mismanaged and that they wanted a new administration after 8 years of the National Democratic Congress. As a matter of fact, I drove through the principal streets of Accra this morning and people are returning back to their, you know, activities, business activities, going back to their offices as regular as possible. And there's a few traffic spots here and there in the capital, Accra. But people say that they are happy that they changed the government. However, those on the opposing side said it's Ghana that won, and they are going to prepare to come back in 4 years' time. So these are competing narratives that are ongoing here in Ghana.
Also, I understand that President Mahama has directed security agencies to deploy across the country for apparently vandalism that is taking place by the supporters of the NPP?
Well, those were some reports that we got. The police administration officials I spoke with said these are criminal elements who want to take advantage of the ruling party losing power and the main opposition party gaining power. So they just used that occasion to try to vandalize stuff. A lot of them are being arrested. Circumstances are being investigated. Those were some of the things they told me when I spoke with the security officials or police officials in the capital here.
So what can be expected in the days ahead?
Well, the days ahead, Ghanaians are waiting anxiously to see the new president sworn in and him taking over because they expect promises that he made, Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, that is, to begin immediately implementing those policies because he promised one district, one factory to create jobs for the youth. Unemployment among the youth is quite high. So they want a change in government. They want a government that will cater for them and that will create jobs for them to work. So those are some of the things people are saying on the street. The expectations are quite high and they can't wait to see the new government begin to work.
That was our colleague Peter Cloti speaking with me from Accra.
Ghana will have a new president next month when Nana Akufo-Addo takes office following his victory in last week's election. As Francesca Kakra-Forsan reports, the new president has spent a lifetime immersed in the West African country's politics.
Nana Akufo-Addo won the presidency of Ghana by pledging to fix the economy. Despite offshore oil production, the country has struggled with escalating debt, increasing corruption, and high unemployment.
We have to recognize one thing. If we do not make a focused, systematic effort to change the nature of our economy, move it away from this raw material producing economy into an industrial value-added economy, we are never going to address the issues of poverty, of higher income standards that we are all looking for. We must make that consistent effort.
But in some ways, winning the presidency fulfills a destiny for Akufo-Addo. He belongs to a family that was involved in the fight for Ghana's freedom from British colonial rule. Three of the founding fathers of Ghana, or the Big Six, were Nana's blood relatives. His father, Edward, was president in the early 1970s. Akufo-Addo studied law in Britain and was called to the Ghana Bar in 1975 before entering politics, joining a group that opposed the referendum to install one-party military state. In 1992, he became the first national organizer of the New Patriotic Party, or NPP, at the outset of Ghana's shift to multi-party politics. In 1995, led one of the largest anti-government demonstrations, Kumiprekun, local dialect which translates, just kill me, in opposition to a consumption tax introduced under President Jerry Rawlings. Akufo-Addo has been a three-time Member of Parliament, served as Attorney General and Minister of Justice for 2 years, and as Foreign Minister from 2001 to 2007. As Attorney General, Akufo-Addo worked to repeal the criminal libel law, which had been used to intimidate the media and criminalize free speech. He first sought the MPP's presidential nomination in 1998, but lost to eventual President John Kufuor. In 2012, he won the nomination, but lost a disputed election to President John Mahama. This year, he was elected with 54% of the vote and will be sworn in as Ghana's next president on January 7th. Francisca Kakra-Forson, VOA News, Accra.
The governor of the southern Nigerian state of Akwa Ibom has ordered the arrest of the contractor who was building a church that collapsed on Saturday. At least 160 people were killed. Governor Odum Emmanuel was in the building when the roof caved in but escaped without injury. Hundreds were attending a service for the church's new bishop. Survivors say the construction was rushed in order to be ready for the event. State officials have begun an investigation of the collapse. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiz Wuhib, 16 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. A mini bus loaded with explosives kills 20 people in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu. And Ghana's President John Mahama meets today with the country's newly elected president, Nana Akufo-Addo, to start the peaceful transition of power. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Winter officially arrives in Europe next week, but the threat of bad weather has not stopped the flow of migrants across the Mediterranean from North Africa. Yesterday, more migrants were rescued off the coast of Libya. Meanwhile, migrant arrivals in Italy this year have reached about 175,000, a new record. Reporter Josephine McKenna is following developments from Rome. She spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua.
Well, this seems incredible that the numbers still show no sign of slowing down, particularly in the winter months when the weather, we know, gets a lot more dangerous and the seas are a lot rougher on the Mediterranean. Six people died and more than 1,000 people were saved in rescue missions in the Mediterranean on Sunday, according to the Italian Coast Guard. And several vessels from the Coast Guard, from the European Union's naval operation, the Italian Navy, and also the vessel Aquarius, which is operated by Doctors Without Borders, moved in to help and save migrants who were essentially on six rubber dinghies and a large wooden boat just off the coast of Libya. And this year has set a new record for the number of migrants arriving in Italy. We've had around 175,000 so far this year, and the year isn't even over yet.
What about the smugglers, Josephine? Are they having any better luck in making arrests?
Well, we know that the trafficking organizations in Libya are now using dinghies rather than wooden vessels to transport most of the migrants who are seeking that passage across the Mediterranean. And the Italian authorities seem to be making some progress in intercepting and detaining alleged people smugglers. In one particular port, 179 smugglers have been detained. In another, Augusta in Sicily, around 190 smugglers have been arrested so far this year. And in Catania, another increase, around 79 people have been arrested. The police are well aware that they're not actually getting to the criminals who are running these major operations and making money out of the migrants, but they feel that they are making some progress in Italy, at least trying to capture and arrest the smugglers when they arrive in Italy.
What is the latest information that you have regarding migrants in Italy as far as they're being relocated to other countries?
The overall repatriation of migrants has been very low, not nearly as high as expected. The European Union has been talking about it for some time, but the rate of repatriation from Italy is particularly low. I've seen figures around 1 in 10. So not very much progress in that respect. And at the same time, Italians are still, I think, struggling with this huge influx that we've seen this year. There was a survey a few days ago published in the paper showing that around 2,000 communities are not coping and have rejected any kind of welcome for migrants, as the Italian government is trying to ensure that they are fairly distributed and equally distributed around the country. So we're starting to see some emergence of growing opposition to migrants.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna from Rome. She spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua.
And in more migrant news, the European Union and Mali have signed an agreement aimed at preventing Malians from migrating to Europe and to more easily return those whose applications for asylum have been rejected. An EU statement says the agreement seeks to deal with the root causes of illegal migration by helping to create jobs for young people and strengthening Mali's security forces. The agreement is the result of a 2015 meeting on Malta, where European leaders agreed to step up a nearly $2 billion fund to improve economic conditions in African countries to slow migration.
South Sudan's inflation rate has surged, and people around the country are feeling the effects of a struggling economy against the backdrop of conflict. From Juba, VOA's Jill Craig speaks with traders in a local market to find out how their businesses have been impacted.
It is a busy morning here at the Nyakarone Market in Juba. But along with the meat, produce, and textiles, economic hardship is also on display as South Sudanese struggle to buy and sell goods that have become increasingly more expensive, especially within the last year. 28-year-old butcher Joseph Kamis works at the market. He says the business is not going fine. People are not buying things like they used to buy before right now. So I am not getting enough money. The country has been rattled by conflict that began in December 2013, as well as hunger and an 836% inflation rate as of October. There is a shortage of U.S. dollars, and the country's currency has fallen from 18 South Sudanese pounds to the dollar about a year ago to about 74 now. Kamis says conflict means it is difficult to bring cattle from Uganda and Rwanda, where he used to buy them. Before December 2013, he could buy a bull for about $160. Today, it costs him roughly $540. As a result, he now charges customers about $3.50 for a kilo of meat. 3 years ago, they paid about 50 cents per kilo. In a nearby stall, 22-year-old Jackie Carabo sells ladies' clothing. She says that last year she would have charged a customer roughly $20 for a suit. Now she asks about $34 for the same outfit. And she says they do not like the increase.
They just run away. Oh, nowadays we are not going to dress because everything is up. They also suffering. They come here and they say, we have not yet getting salary. We are suffering. We don't know what we are going to do.
Not far away, Stima Arafa is selling produce. She explains that because South Sudan has to import almost everything, especially from countries like Uganda, they are heavily dependent upon the U.S. dollar.
But now, when the dollar has started to increase, it is the one who brings now the problems. Because if it was not like that, everything should be well.
Ugandan Robert Mugabe Katsagire came to Juba 7 years ago for business opportunities. He and his wife sell food staples, but he says their profits have steadily decreased.
We used to go home after like 6 months, 7 months in Uganda to see our people. But nowadays we have almost spent more than a year minus going. This means that the earnings of last year were much better than the earnings of this year.
According to the World Bank, oil makes up about 60% of South Sudan's GDP and accounts for almost all its exports. But export revenues have declined due to a decrease in production and in global crude prices. The World Food Program estimates 3.6 million people are severely food insecure, more than double the rate from 2015. Jill Craig, VOA News, Juba.
Zimbabwe's cross-border traders are feeling the pinch of the new bond notes as they struggle to raise cash to restock their goods. The notes replaced U.S. dollars, which have been used as a local currency for several years, but are now in short supply. With banks in a panic, withdrawals have been reduced to as little as $50 per day. Traders say it's affecting their business in neighboring Botswana. Martin Ngwenya reports from Gaborone, Botswana.
Elias Moyo regularly crosses into Botswana to supply veterinary medicines to some retailers in the capital, Gaborone. His business has been booming since he started operating in 2011. But he says this may be about to change with the introduction of bond notes in Zimbabwe. Traders cannot use their profits, which are in Botswana currency, even to buy gifts in Botswana to take back into Zimbabwe. The Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe requires that Moyo and other exporters deposit all of their foreign earnings from Botswana into a Zimbabwean account. But according to new laws, only $50 can be withdrawn per day. He argues that it is hardly enough for him to buy stock to meet the demands of his customers. Moyo says government is robbing them because they cannot immediately withdraw the money they've just deposited. We must deposit the money into the bank the moment we come back into the country. But after that, we can only withdraw $50 per day, which is not enough for our customers' order. As a result, we are losing a lot of business. Another cross-border trader, 35-year-old Ms. Shingai Mpofu, says bond notes spell doom for their trade. Mpofu is a qualified teacher pushed into trading by scarce employment opportunities in Zimbabwe. She sells various domestic wares at the Gaborone bus rank. Like Moyo, she says business has taken a knock over the last few months, and in her view, the introduction of bond notes compounds an already volatile trading environment. This after government banned the import of some goods this year.
I used to make enough to feed my family back home, but these days with the cash unavailable in Zimbabwe, I hardly have enough to restock. I make fewer trips, which means less money, and the little that we make in Botswana, we cannot take groceries home due to the recent import ban.
A Zimbabwean economic analyst based in Gaborone, Joram Monashe, says the absence of real cash like dollars means there are no transactions. Monashe says to make things worse, transferring money out of Zimbabwe is prohibited. It's an effort by the government to end a problem that became obvious last year when Zimbabwean companies and citizens sent nearly $2 billion to overseas accounts.
Considering the high unemployment rate in Zimbabwe, you find that a lot of people are actually surviving on cross-border trade. And with the new limitations that are coming in from the Reserve Bank and the issuing of the bond notes, which is, we have all been told that you can only use them in Zimbabwe, is going to compound problems for the cross-border traders.
Zimbabweans have been anxious since the government announced its intention last May to introduce bond notes to ease growing cash shortages. Critics argue that consumers will not be able to purchase needed food imports. They also say the notes, similar to a failed currency plan 7 years ago, could lead to hyperinflation. That would be the nail, they say, in the coffin of an already ailing economy. Reporting for Voice of America's English to Africa service, this is Martin Ngwenya in Gaborone, Botswana.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Dan Crafton, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, Gambians across Africa and elsewhere rejoice at news that longtime ruler Yahya Jammeh conceded defeat in the country's presidential election. Today, Ghanaians go to the polls to elect a new leader. We take an in-depth look at the elections in the Gambia and Ghana right here on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.